Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience. I am your host, Lisa Ann, and I would like to extend my gratitude to you for making me a part of your listening experience. I know there are a ton of amazing podcasts out there right now, and the fact that you choose mine, I thank you so much. I don't want to forget my sponsor, Ticket Rev, is the ideal place for you to go and make an experience happen between you and someone you love, whether it be a game, a concert, a show. Let's forget about gifts. Take that minimalist mindset and forget about buying gifts and share experiences with the people that mean the most to you. You get to take a photo. You get to have this memory. You get to talk about it with your friends. It's so much better than that sweater that by accident you put in the dryer and it shrinks. It does happen. It happens to all of us. Every once in a while that item slips by us and you pull it out of the dryer and you're like, oh, here we go. It'll never fit again. But what will always fit is that memory. So go to ticketrev.com. There's an amazing app. You can check that out as well. Put in your area, where you are, where you like to go, what venues, what seats, what area. All of that is so specific. And if you want to know about the specials and all the marketing and all the things going on with Ticket Rev, you can follow on all social media at Ticket Rev. So today will be just me and you, because after I travel and take an amazing trip, I always have so much to share, and it's just the most perfect time for me to just let it all out and share with you my latest experience, which was 60 hours of travel for a 72-hour trip. Again, another 72-hour trip. I don't know how this keeps happening, because it was similar going to Sicily, but that was a time crunch situation. Sicily being much closer, only 10 hours. This was 27 hours of travel, easy, not including layovers and all of that. I went to Melbourne, Australia for Sexpo. And when this was brought to me, it was just a timing thing. I have a new project that's launching, and I needed to be in New York City for this week. It's New York Comedy Festival right now in the city. And so we were using that opportunity with so many comedians being in town as the perfect time to pre-record something that I cannot tell you yet, but that I'm super excited about. And I was in studio yesterday getting in reps for our first episode. And it just felt so good to be back in studio, but I'm giving you too much information right now. But what I am going to tell you is you're going to truly enjoy this. I'm super proud of it. I'm super proud of the partner that I brought on to be a part of it with me. And it's just going to be a nice little escape, something fun for all of you to enjoy. So that was the reason why I couldn't stay in Australia longer. And then leaving earlier would have been a snafu as well. So leaving New York City on Wednesday of last week got me to Australia Friday. And that's Friday Australia time. It's still Thursday in the US. So it's just this weird feeling of being like, I'm leaving somewhere on a Wednesday. And though I know I could still go by the clock of where I actually live, it's only Thursday when I land in Australia. It's actually Friday. And the reason I don't go by the clock where I actually live, and this was something I immediately thought about as I was sitting on my first flight, was this is such an important conversation about jet lag and about being tired from travel and about how to fight that. And so a lot of it is mindset. A lot of everything that I believe is mindset. But to me, taking off in New York on Wednesday and landing in Australia on Friday meant that I am in the mindset that it's Friday when I land in Australia. So one of the tricks that I do is I always keep my watch. I never change my watch. No matter where I am, my watch will stay on local time at home. And because our phones automatically shift, so you automatically land somewhere and you're like, okay, it's Friday here. And it's this time back home. So the reason I do that is to put myself there. When I get in that day, I know the plan is to do a full day and make sure that I go to bed as close to my normal bedtime that I would go to in New York. So what I did was I got picked up at Melbourne Airport at 9 a.m. And let's go back to the flight. My first flight was a full flight, and those are such huge flights and such incredible flights. Like, international travel is so different. There's like snacks at all times. You can go to the back of the plane and there's this whole snack bar area where sandwiches and fruit plates and cheese plates and whatever you may want, like constantly walking around with water and there's bottled water in all your seats when you get on the plane, but then they're constantly giving you more water to stay hydrated. And at the airport, I had bought a large smart water. And the goal was to drink that full water before I took my first nap. My first flight was going to be to Dallas Airport. And then, so that's only 4 hours, 4.5 hours. And then from Dallas to Australia to Melbourne was 20-ish hours. So I was like, okay, I'll down this first water on my flight to Dallas and won't sleep. The goal is to not sleep. So I took a couple of books. I had planned to see what they were offering. And by the way, they had the entire box set of Succession, which I just decided I was going to watch the first 2 seasons on my way there and the last 2 seasons on my way home, because it was just like one huge long marathon of a movie. But so I drank that full water. I stayed awake and I read. I cleaned out my phone. Cleaning out your phone can be such a great way to pass time on a flight. I don't know about you, but I screen grab a lot of things. I save something. Maybe I see something I like on an online store and I want to screen grab it to look to see if any other online stores have it at a better price. So there's all these screen grabs. And then there's flyers from events that I was promoting that I already did. And so I save all that because it's a great time passer on a flight. And it's something we often don't get the time to do when we're home. So I make sure that I'm going to be doing that on the first flight. When I got off in Dallas, there was a bit of a layover. So now I have an additional 4 hours to kill. But luckily, with putting in this much time on flights, I am now elevated to the next level lounge. And a matter of fact, I got to visit the Soho Lounge for the very first time at JFK. And this all may sound silly, but when you're traveling, these little perks and these little fun things that you get with having so many miles with one airline, staying loyal to one era. My airline is American. So whenever I'm booking internationally, I make sure they code share with American so I can get those miles. And so I enjoyed the Soho Lounge. It was beautiful. I did take some pictures and I should post those. I haven't yet, but I will when I do a real travel recap, maybe on my blog. I'm like, okay, at the Dallas Lounge, you know what? I had a bunch of business that I didn't get to get done before I left. So I thought, I have 4 hours. There's all these quiet rooms. We're actually in like almost like a padded phone booth with a very comfy seat with a little table for your computer and a like soundproof door. They're like mini recording studios. I closed the door and I was like, man, I could do a podcast in here if the internet was good enough. So I get in there and I'm like, this is my time. I'm going to go through and reach out to everybody, see who's available, let them know I'm trapped on this layover. Let me get some other business handled. So I got some wine phone calls done because, you know, I'm out here schlepping this wine. I got to be selling this out so that I can bring my next barge over from Sicily. So I made some wine contacts and people that had been reaching out to me, got those phone calls done. Now it's time to get to the gate and look at this massive flight that we'll be boarding to go to Melbourne. And I knew that when I got on this flight, I was going to focus on, yes, I did pick up another big water that I was going to down before I took a nap. Staying hydrated is so key. But I also knew that when I arrived on Friday, I was going to have a little bit of downtime, which I was going to use to get a massage and work out. And then I had to get ready for the show. So now I'm going to be seen my first day when I arrive in Melbourne, and I'm going to need to be at the show. So the first thing I do when I get on the flight is I wash my face. So I always pack a clear bag, a little zip bag that will, of course, get through TSA that has all of my minis in it. And I learned this on my very first international trip. There was a beautiful older woman sitting next to me, and she had this clear bag. And she continued through the flight, pulling things out. First thing she did was wash her face. Second thing she did was put on a very emollient heavy cream. Through the flight, she kept misting herself with that. At that time, it was the Avion spray water was the only thing, but now there's a ton of spray products. She kept putting cream on her hands. She kept putting stuff on her lips. And I was like, by the middle of the flight, I said to her, please explain. This is my first international flight. can you please explain? And she's like, look, you need to stay as hydrated as possible and you need to keep slathering moisture on your skin. When you get into your destination, you wash your face is going to feel so smooth and so soft, and you're going to be able to not miss a step if you need to put makeup on immediately because you won't be dehydrated and sunken in from the flight. So I was like, lesson learned. I will have kit. So like I said, I get onto my flight to Melbourne. First thing I do, makeup remover on my face, go to the bathroom, a little cleanser, wash my face, pin my hair back, and the entire flight, between every nap, every move, every time I'm awake, I'm misting my face. I'm putting a very heavy emollient on. I'm using Aquaphor on my lips, hand cream, Aquaphor on my cuticles, and just really, really, really taking care of myself because I've got 20 hours where I'm going to sit in recirculated air and I need to look pretty about 5 hours after I land. So, and it just feels good. It really makes the trip more enjoyable. It's like this little practice that you do and it just feels soothing and it passes the time and you're doing something great for your skin. And by the time you arrive, you actually feel better than you did when you took off. So I have this little kit. I immediately wash my face and I suggest this to everyone. You can buy a little spritzer with mister. What I usually do before these trips is I'll place an order from Namies. And Namies is the beauty supply in LA that I've been using for years. And Namies always sends these great little samples and you can request which ones you want. So I always request the emollient cream heavy samples and they give you like five or six, which is enough for both ways. And then you're not opening a whole tube of something. You just rip open one and use one halfway through the flight, use the second one for the second half of the flight, and so on the return. And it makes a huge difference. And this is a cream that is so heavy, I would probably never use it if I was just putting it on my daily. But knowing that I'm going to be that dehydrated from the flight, boom, going to handle, going to feel good when I land. The person that picks me up is going to have to identify with the fact that I have no makeup on. They may not recognize me when I walk by them. So that's always a thing too. But I get to Australia, slept pretty well on my flight there, got enough sleep that I felt like I didn't really want to get too long of a nap when I got in. I would just rest during my massage. I would then hit the gym and then shower and get ready to go to the show. Sexpo is pretty cool. It's very much like Exotica's in the US, but they have a lot more educators. And we have educators in panel rooms at Exotica, but they put the educators on the main stage. And those educators have these great areas of seats in front of them. So casual people walking by don't have to like go and look for a panel. It's not as specific. And I think it makes it feel more inclusive because I think without having to find a room and maybe see everybody in the room, which could feel a little bit awkward, I mean, you could just sit and they put it right by where all the concessions are. So people get a little snack or a coffee or a tea and they sit down and they sit with the educator. And these educators are on for an hour through the whole show, 10 different people a day, 10 different people a day. And I got to run a sex ed Q&A all 3 days that I was there. And the Q&As are always really a great way for me to be reminded of how people view me, what people remember the most about me, what people are following now when it comes to me. And it's pretty exciting how many people talk about my podcast, talk about my books, talk about the new things that I'm doing. And that shows me that though they found me one way and enjoyed me one way, which they still most likely enjoy me that way, they've watched my life unfold and they've stayed by me and supported me. And they love talking about the new experiences in my life. A lot of people want to know about how I made the transition. Was there things that were difficult or easier? And I find those questions so fascinating because these are people that are truly getting to know me and want to know what I went through. Maybe they're thinking of a career change, or maybe they're transitioning in some way, form of their lives, and they take my lead, and it's just a true honor. I always get asked every day, one person will ask me about what it was like to be in the Eminem video. And I mean, that's just a great reminder to me. And how many people ask that question and start it with, you know, I first found out about you through the Eminem video, We Made You. And that shows me like, oh, they weren't a fan. It's amazing how when you're branding yourself, you realize that all of the different steps that you took bring in a new audience, and that audience will continue then to follow you. So hearing the Eminem questions, I always say like, you know, even when I'm 80, I'm going to be able to go back on YouTube and watch that video and tell all of my friends, you know what? You were really cool one day in your life. You were really, really cool. And then I get questions about, of course, this was not a beach. It's a bathtub, the lifeguard scene. And then just general questions about trying new things, a lot of couples. And I had some really great questions from women, from checking out my photos around the city on Instagram, from my style and how I shop, from how I take care of my skin and what makeup I use, just common questions. And the fact that I get such insightful questions live, yes, it would be great if I got those questions in asklisaann@gmail.com for the mailbag, but getting them live is really, really great because it's just so pure. After I do my Q&A, I do a couple of interviews, and then I go over and I'm at the booth, which is a very organized system of security watching me, a person that takes the photos, another person that passes the phone to the person that takes the photos, a person that's security that's managing the line, which is wrapped around the show. And it's this whole machine. And all I have to do is wait for a person to walk up, introduce myself, get to know them a moment, pose for the photo, chat for a moment. Maybe they want an extra photo, a selfie or something. And then it goes. It is a massive assembly line. And it took me till day two to realize how my girl that was taking the photos got the phones, because I, you know, I'm looking away and, you know, giving a little bit of time with each person, and I wouldn't see the whole transaction. I'm like, man, she's always ready. Next thing you know, the next person comes up and there she is. She's always ready. She knows how to use the phone. Day two, I observed a bit. Day one, I was probably a little bit out of it from landing. So I'm just being like, okay, I'm landing. And I did have an amazing massage. And thank you to Kevin Mack at Sexpo for not only putting me in a most beautiful suite in Melbourne, and the suite had this beautiful window seat that had a bench and it was extended out and it was glass. And the first day I opened the blinds and see it, I was like, ooh, I have a very specific reading perch for when I can't sleep, and I use that reading perch and I powered through two books. So back to the massage, Kevin set it up. It was a 90-minute, like, amazing, really unique massage, something I've never had before. It starts out with like this foot scrub and all these essential oils. I mean, it was amazing. After that, I went and used every amenity at the spa. I sat in the steam room. I sat in the sauna. I went in the floating pool. I laid down in the quiet room and had some tea. Like, I was like, okay. Then I went over and got in a little workout, put my feet up in my room a little bit to check messages and got ready. But thank you, Kevin, for setting that up. It was quite a delight to land and have such an awesome massage. So I do my 3 days at the show. And on the third day, of course, as always, there's an after party. There's an after party at a club called Kittens, which is a strip club, which, you know, I feel incredibly comfortable in. They had a nice section off for us. And it was a great time for me to actually sit with all of the people that I passed by or worked with briefly. Luke, who I got to know really well, who was running all the sex ed panels. And Luke and I are now homies. And I sent Luke a bunch of travel tips and a bunch of links on Amazon of things that I have, which I'm going to get to. And I get to sit like one by one. I'm in my VIP area and the crew from Sexpo is around me. And one by one, a different person would sit down next to me. And we just get like 30 minutes FaceTime. Just, where are you from? How many of these do you do? You know, what's your story? Let's make sure we're following each other on Instagram. Let's stay connected. And when I went back to the room that night, I really thought about how fortunate I am to meet so many like-minded people in so many different countries. Now, Australia is a gift because there's no language barrier and I don't need a translator to have all of these little conversations. When Kay and I were in Switzerland, not everybody spoke English. When Kay and I were in Greece, barely anybody spoke English. So it was very different. This is just so special. You're going the furthest and you're having these face-to-face conversations and you're getting to know people that are in the same space as you, that want the world to be sex positive, that want everybody to live in the most comfort and be able to be themselves. And it's just a joy for me. It's part of my life in the industry that I'll never let go of. You know, there's pros and cons to every business. And what I did for so many years of my life planted my feet in who I am. But what I did had a mission and a purpose. And at the time where I started in the late 80s, you know, dancing, this was a rebellion thing. This was a, no one else is doing this yet. But this was also a unique thing. I was going against the grain at that time. Now we're more loved and celebrated. Now there's these beautiful shows all over the world. We've got another Exotica, the last Exotica of the year, coming up December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in DC. And I cannot wait to see everyone again. We're driving out this time. Justin's going to drive me and Joanna. We're going on a group road trip. We're super excited about that too. Instead of taking the train, we thought it would be fun. But when I looked back, that night, I was sitting in my hotel and I really didn't want to sleep Sunday night because I wanted to try to sleep on my flight. I wanted to try to battle this. I knew I had to get home on Monday and hit the ground running. There was going to be no, hey, you have jet lag, you should lay down. It was like, no, you're getting right back on your regular schedule. You're going to act like this trip did not happen. You know, you do not have jet lag. You do not know anything about this because you have to get back to work. And so I was sitting in my room and I was journaling. And I was thinking about maybe what I would write my next book about, getting a lot of hits. A lot of people at Sexpo asked me if I was planning on writing a third. And I'm like, it's just almost to tears makes me because it's such an honor that people take the time to read what I write. And the questions that were asked about my books were true readers because they were deep in the depths of my book. And a couple of questions about minimalism and the excitement of people trying to make the transition themselves. And I was sitting there thinking about what I've watched, what I've witnessed. I've seen the world not only go from VHS to DVD to digital to the internet to streaming, but I've also seen the world go from when I was first dancing and none of the banks would cash in my ones from the club and they did not want stripper money. They would tell me, we will not take your stripper money. So I was that person that had to buy everything in ones. I bought my groceries in ones and I would look at the people behind me and I would be like, this is going to take a minute and I'm really sorry. I bought a SUV, Bronco 2 for $3,500 in ones and gave the salesperson an extra $500 for the time that it was taking them to count the ones. Coming from a space where I can now get a visa to go to another country to speak and to appear at a sex positive event like Sexpo, that I can be here at Exotica as a legitimate paying job, that I can sit and host every Thursday night at Sapphire 39 as a legitimate paying job, as the bank's accepting this now. I've watched that. I've watched the audience at these events go from male dominated to more women, more couples, more non-binary, more everyone that represents them true self. And one of the conversations I have with a lot of women and gender neutral friends that come to see me and talk to me about their identity and share with me about how they feel about these shows, the one thing they say is that they go because it is the least judgment they ever feel. They can walk around dressed however they want. They can do whatever they want. My booth was right next to one of my new favorite humans, the gay farmer. And the gay farmer, he's this sweet guy. We became besties immediately. And he sells candles and essential oils. And we just talked. And he had this really cute apron on and, you know, just a fun guy. And he said, like, it's such a difference being able to be at these shows and be myself as opposed to going to other venues and having to really reel it in, you know, really be someone that I'm not. And being that I've gotten to watch this firsthand, and being that I've gotten to admit that this is still truly part of who I am, there's a sense of pride in the fact that I have watched this grow into something that is no longer buried under the carpet, that is no longer behind a beaded wall at a Blockbuster Video, that this is a real space in our lives where we get to explore ourselves. We get to, you know, enhance everything we're already doing and feed that curiosity judgment-free. There was a beautiful man that came to my booth, and he was about 6 feet something, but he also had on platform boots and he had this half latex outfit. And yes, I do have photos of me and him, because I said, can I have some photos of you to send home to my friends? So I sent him to some of my guy friends in my building. He was so beautiful. And half, it was like half exposed and half latex, and he just beautiful. And he was just walking around by himself. And he said, I go to everyone. I love going to these shows. It's the chance for me to just get to be myself. I do some shopping. I meet other people like me. And we sit and we chat. And I make a ton of new friends. It is a positive space. And I am so glad to still be a part of it. And there was probably a time in my life between 2013 and 2015 where I had felt such a resistance, and I had felt so in this vortex of negativity from the industry that I forgot about how much good is there. And I also didn't yet realize at that time what I realize now is how important it is for me to be present, for me to be present in all walks of life that I'm in, to share them equally, to make sure everybody knows, hey, yes, this is me. I am not ashamed of who I am, but I am also going to talk fantasy football every Wednesday night all day on Fridays, because that's who I am too. Those people I love as well. This is a great space for me too. Yes, I love writing books. Yes, I love doing my social media. So the ability to tap on so many different topics and so many different ways to live, and to be able to live in this space of complete freedom that I don't have to feel boxed in. Maybe what I was feeling in 2013, 2015 was boxed in. Maybe I needed to get out and explore the rest of the world and see how people were actually going to respond to me in person to form this opinion. Kay got to be a part of the Fantasy Football Expo in Canton, Ohio this past year at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. I did say Canton twice, I realize. And it's because I'm distracted, because by the way, I'm running my dishwasher, which was a bad idea, and I'm so sorry, but we're on a time crunch here because I'm recording the same day as release. You know, let me just be real with you. Sometimes things don't go as planned. But when Kay got to meet everybody, Kay got to see another part of my life, another chapter in my daily book, right? To see that. That's something I didn't expect. When you're in the business, you somewhat have this opinion of what it's going to be like on the outside. It's a little bit, I think, guided by paranoia. I think it's a little bit guided by what other people have experienced. Oh, the window washers are right here right now. Hi. This is just an eventful day. And they're like, oh, she's in a Zoom meeting. And they are now going to, this is just wild. So the lighting has changed, and that is why. Boy, you are really getting it all today in this podcast. What a job these guys have. I always wave to them. What are you supposed to do? It's going to be awkward to not wave. Hi. Looks pretty cold out. They've got mittens on and everything else. So back to you. So I really sat in my room Sunday night as I was, you know, before I was getting ready to pack up, because I have a travel thing where I can't even take a nap on a travel night where I'm going to the airport without everything being packed up, my clothes being left out, just a toothbrush and a little bit of makeup. But I sat there and I really thought about the evolution of all of this and how much a part of it I've been, how I view it now versus maybe how I viewed it 2013, 2015. There was a point where maybe I was too in it to understand what it was like to be a little bit more removed. And I have such a great time at Exotica. I get to engage, of course, with my friends, seeing Nikki Dial again, someone that I knew from the 90s that I lost touch with for all of these years. I get to see Christy. I get to spend time with Joanna, of course, all of that. Seeing couples, fans, friends, newbies, people who have never been to Exoticas come for their first time and say, this is my first one. This is so cool. See them carrying bags of items of shopping. They have fun t-shirts. I'll say Sexpo has the greatest range though of different merch. There was a woman that just makes sexy aprons and dishcloths and things that say funny things. So just the shopping of unique items. It's like one big Spencer's gift, but with a lot of adult stuff as well. And I've been, you know, thinking about it since I got back. Like, wow, I've been in every facet of this. And now I found this space where I get the best of all worlds. And I love it. I love that I've watched it become a more positive space. I love that now that I'm back at Sapphire every Thursday night watching Thursday night football, I'm building a relationship with all of the women that work there. And I'm having very serious conversations with them about money, about saving their money, about what they're doing, how they're taking care of their body, about skincare, about cryotherapy, about all the things that I do. And it's been fascinating to watch them each week get closer with me. And though at first I might have started by asking them questions, they're now asking me questions. And it's almost like they have it prepped from, they thought about it during the week and they're like, you know, I thought about it this week. And, you know, what do you think of this idea? There's quite a few women in there that are running other businesses. There's a woman that is making custom lingerie for the other girls that work there that has everything from different ways to take it off as little hidden pockets for money. It's just fascinating. And so many of them have side hustles that they're actually funding through working at Sapphire. That's a new thing that I'm seeing. Before, everybody made their money and had a ton of fun. Now this is young entrepreneurs who are like, wait a minute, if I do this for 2 to 5 years and I can get my business going, okay, then I can be doing that full time. Then maybe I'm going to buy some properties. There's one girl that owns like 4 apartment buildings. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these women are so smart. But because we're enabling this, when I couldn't go to the bank, how could I grow financially? How could I have gotten better when I was looked down on? And now it's celebrated because you're earning an income. And I had a conversation while I was in Australia with Kevin about OnlyFans. And I said, what people don't realize is during the pandemic, when most people weren't able to go into work, if you were a service worker, a waitress, anything where you had no opportunity, your business was completely not working, you did not have income coming in except for whatever the government is giving you, which was only given to you on your salary, not your tips. So you look at a server who claims a smaller amount of money because money might come in cash on tips, and they were not able to get by. The economy was pretty much humming on not only OnlyFans, but on the creators on OnlyFans, because those same creators were ordering new technology, new computers, new cameras, new lights. They were ordering lingerie, clothes, shoes, makeup, wardrobe. They were ordering from Vistaprint to have flyers to throw into the things that they were selling. They were moving this economy. And it's fascinating to really think about how many stories we read, but did any of us put together the amount of tax dollars that were pumped into the system during the pandemic from OnlyFans creators itself? Like, it's fascinating to think about. And we had a really deep dive conversation about it. And it was just like, we were both going back and forth with the fascination of it and the fact that it was kind of left out of the conversation. But here I sit in just intense gratitude, excited for Thanksgiving week to have some downtime, excited to start plotting what my next book would be about, but really feeling a sense of being of like, this is now truly who I am. And this is now something that I understand more. We learn something about ourselves every day. And when we learn those things about ourselves, we sometimes have that aha moment, like, oh, did not see that coming. Okay, now I get it. Now I get it on a different level. I get it. I enjoy it. And I celebrate it. And it's been a ton of fun. I will be sharing with you 3 travel things I travel with every trip. And they were the things that I shared with Luke. And we'll get to that right before we get to this week's mailbag. If you want to be a part of the mailbag, don't forget, asklisaann@gmail.com. Don't also forget about Ticket Rev. Follow on social media at Ticket Rev. You can download the Ticket Rev app and go to ticketrev.com to learn more about how you can create an experience and a memory with someone you love. So the 3 things on Amazon that you can buy are by the 2 of them are by the same company. It's called Pure. 1 is a mini air purifier. The first thing I do when I get into my room is I set that thing up And when you leave the first trip and you come back the second trip, you will smell a completely different scent in the room. It just gets out. It just purifies the air. I also travel, same company, Pure, a mini humidifier. You screw on a bottle of water, open it up, and it has a little filter that comes out. That's very helpful to me because when I'm doing these shows, I'm often talking for hours on hours and my voice can get very, very hoarse and my throat can get really dry. So I make sure that thing is right on my face every night when I sleep. And then last but not least, but I think the most important, especially for women, really for anyone traveling alone, but I have a door jam lock and it looks like an old door stopper. It looks like a janky thing that was actually invented in 1980, okay? But it's so cool. It takes a battery. That does show the 80s part of it. It's not chargeable. Okay, it takes a battery. It's a 9-volt. And you slide it into the door and turn it on. And if anybody wiggles the door, it is a piercing alarm. And for me, it's just become peace of mind. Like it just allows me to feel chill. It allows me to just feel like, okay, I've done that. I'm locked. I'm safe. I'm secure. Here we go. For a good night's sleep. And here we go for the moment you've been waiting for, the Ask Lisa Ann mailbag. If you would like to be a part of the mailbag, you can write to me at asklisaann@gmail.com. I do not respond to those emails, but I do read them right here. And we've got three. And the last one is going to create a little bit more conversation about a topic that I think we all know about, but I'm going to share more details. This first one is from Daniel, and Daniel wants to know about space tourism. Hi, Lisa. Hope you are doing well. I just finished watching LA episode 115. You look amazing as always. Your new hairstyle looks great. Thank you, Daniel. Colby's book seems like they will be good read. Dealing with curveball that life throws you is powerful. America loves the underdog. Thanks for sharing. My curiosity stems from hearing your answer a mailbag email. Sounds like your adventure's bucket list is short. If money was no object, does space tourism interest you? An orbit around the world would be incredible. Or maybe visit the International Space Station for maybe a long weekend. More than that, you'd probably get bored. A visit to the moon? I feel like once you're there, you look around and all looks the same. Not sure why some billionaires are interested in going to Mars. The planet cannot sustain life. If there was another planet like Earth that could, I understand. I feel like the middle of Nevada is like Mars, but with air. It sure is. Stay well, and thank you in advance for taking the time to read my email from your friend, Daniel, aka Dooner. It's funny. I have no interest in going in space, no interest in going to Mars. I really worry about the environment, and I feel like each one of these unnecessary missions is hurting the environment. So if I had unlimited funds, instead of doing something like traveling to space, going to Mars, going to the moon, if I had unlimited funds, I think I would just celebrate nature by traveling to every major sanctuary in the world to help raise money and to make donations. Like, wouldn't it just be better if, let's say, I could go to Africa and, you know, be a part of like Gillian Mark do with the animals that are en route to extinction, learn more about them, find ways that I can help, things of that nature. I also, if I had unlimited money, would rather stay just traveling and doing the simple things and making sure other people that don't have unlimited money had what they needed. So maybe that would mean I could have enough money to make sure Blessings in a Backpack had enough food for everyone, that every school lunch was free, that every school had computers. You know, in the latest book I read, this one story continues to come up in quite a few books. And it's the fact that if Bill Gates didn't go to a specific school that was the first school to have computers, his whole life would have been different. One school to have computers, just so happens Bill Gates went there. That is amazing because he realized, and he talks about the fact that if that wasn't the case, his whole life would be different. So maybe I would put computers in all schools. But I just think there's a better way to spend unlimited money than go to the unknown. I'd rather stay with the known and try and make it better. But I love the question, Daniel. And I think I'm going to try to convince Kay next year to go to this balloon festival in St. Louis. Maybe Kay and I would go to a bunch of balloon festivals, more skydiving and more adventures. But the moon, space and the stars would not be one. Right here, our favorite writers, Mark and Peggy. Well, Lisa Ann, I know you heard me talk about it for over a year, but I finally did it. With Peggy's help, I have an audio-only podcast on Spotify. New 20 to 30 minute drops every Sunday afternoon Pacific time. Right now, it's whatever I want to talk about. But we encourage questions and comments about parenting, relationships, and sexuality. You gave me the courage to do it. So I would just be thrilled if you ever got a chance to listen during your busy life. Three have published so far, and two are recorded and waiting for their scheduled date and time. Thank you for giving this old man the balls to do it. It's called Mack the Light. So we should all look it up and subscribe, okay? M-A-C-K the Light on Spotify. Let's all go and subscribe. Thank you for giving this old man the balls to do it. It's called Mack the Light, and it's under the name I was born with, Mack Skelton. By the way, Peggy and I celebrate our 50th anniversary on November 21st. Love to all of your friends. As ever, your friends, Peggy and Mark Henry. And by the way, Mark gave me, sent a wedding photo from 50 years ago, and it is the greatest wedding photo. And I'm so excited that he's started his podcast. Please let's all go and subscribe and support our friends. Now, here we go with a topic. This email is something I want to talk about. So you'll notice that since I've been back, I've had to fight some battles. As a matter of fact, I've already put 36 hours since I got back Monday into fighting imposters. And it's not a imposters like Takedown Tuesday. There is someone, we don't know yet who this someone is. It's that ugly feet, weird shoes page on TikTok that keeps reappearing and keeps starting bogus sites. But whoever this person is monitoring me well enough to know when I'm on long flights. When I landed from Australia to the US on Monday, there were over 200 more fake Facebook profiles, about 50 more TikToks. The one TikTok that got striked down was back with 26,000 followers. That TikTok had a link to a Shopify store that has stolen my book items, photos, all of this on Shopify. Had my stuff, those ugly shoes. First of all, no one in the world has ever seen me wear flats. If I wear flats, they're sneakers, okay? And these ballerina shoes that are so gross and disgusting on Poshmark. One pair of shoes positioned different ways, but you can see by the scuffs in the shoes, it's the same pair of shoes listed in all different sizes and people are buying them. So I have to report fraud to Poshmark. I have to go after Poshmark. Then there's this buy me a coffee site. I have now had a run in with this site twice. They tell me this, we're allowed to use your likeness until somebody makes a purchase. And then once we validate payment, then we consider it fraud. No, you don't. I own the copyright and trademark to my names and to my likeness. So no, you don't. So the only way to really get anything, because when you try and be polite and go by email or DM or report to support, they just keep sending you more links. Oh, no, this falls under this. No, this falls under this. You know where you get action? When you pin that shit to your Twitter profile and you talk about it publicly. I'm sorry to have to shame people, but Poshmark, that was the only way I could get this page taken down. So I started immediately. As soon as I landed, I knew, okay, shit's getting hot. I was on a flight, 20 hours. I'm going to have hours on hours on hours. I've stayed up Monday and Tuesday night to 1 a.m. working on this because I still have all of my other work to do and other things that I'm doing and the new project that I've got going on. So I'm aggressive. And the reason I'm aggressive is my level of determination to protect my community is huge. I don't want someone getting scammed out of money in my likeness. I take that very personally. Yes, it sucks that somebody else is stealing content that I don't even have yet. This TikTok had all of the clips from Kevin Mack's Snapchat and from Kevin Mack's story and is getting millions of likes. And I don't even have the content yet because they're putting a folder together for me this week so I can work on it next week. I don't even have it yet. And it's already on this. Every single thing I did in Australia was already on this fake page. And it is T-H-R-E-A-L-L-I-S-A-A-N-N with my picture. These social media accounts, these companies, like, okay. Don't even get me started. I'm not as like, look, I'm mad at all of it. I'm frustrated at all of it. It's a time sucker. But the tenacity that I have, I will not let that sit for more than 3 days. I won't do it. And these people think they're going to get one up on me because I'm busy. Hell no, I will carve out the time. You know why? Because this is the brand that I built. And anybody that builds something protects something. If you have a storefront, you're going to protect it. If you have a business online, you're going to protect it. Whatever you create, you are going to protect. And so I am on a mission. One last thing to get down is the Shopify store. I've already zapped the 5 stores where this person is selling those ugly shoes. I'm now working on the social media profiles. I signed up for Brandit Scan, which is a new platform. I'm going to have them on the podcast so they can explain to you how all of this works. I put 4 straight hours yesterday into protecting my likeness by entering every single fraudulent link of any imposter site. So that brings me to this. Lisa Ann, my name is Frank. I'm 59 and I'm trying to think how to present this in the best way. The crux of this email is to figure out what is real and what is not. Let me see. I think it's a great thing you do with Takedown Tuesdays. The scammers out there are abundant and hopefully you get them out of your life. I've been scammed myself and the emotions it creates runs the gamut. I looked back and responded to one of your posts on October 5th when you were at a beach in what looked like Clearwater Beach. As I mentioned, I left you a response and a day or two later, you responded by asking me to message you, which I did. No idea whether it was you or not, but I figured I'd bite and see what it was about. Now, what I'm noticing on Instagram and other platforms is before I can even like people's comments, there's scammers that have liked it and they have a very similar platform to me and people think that it's me, but they don't open the go to the profile. They're just so happy to get the message. They respond to it. No, open the platform. Look at the spelling. I do not private message anyone. No, this continues. Without getting into all the conversation, suffice to say you or a scammer wanted to communicate on another number through Signal. I don't even know what the fuck Signal is. Okay, I've never even heard of fucking Signal. What the fuck is Signal? And why the fuck would I be going onto another platform? Why would I be doing this? Where is everybody's head at? I am doing my best to protect my community. I just told you, put 36 hours into this since I got home on Monday. It's only Wednesday. You realize I've slept 4 hours a night because I'm working on this. But I do think that on the other end, there is some responsibility to be borne by the user. So no, I don't know what Signal is. The conversations that ensued were actually really cool, if I'm being completely honest. And this is the sign of someone who's lonely. But as time went on, I kept thinking, why the hell is Lisa Ann talking to me? I'm a freaking nobody. You kept saying you liked my vibe and that I was different. Yeah. I must be a sucker. I must have eaten it up. But to be honest, I guess it was good timing and maybe I needed to hear it. Who knows? In any event, I wanted to make sure you were aware. If it wasn't you, which I assume it wasn't, whoever they are must have studied you well. Guys, people, it's not hard to study me. You can follow my social media and know everything that I'm doing. Common sense here. They said some things that were very believable. Then again, maybe I'm just stupid, a sucker, like I said above. Of course, now in hindsight, I could say after watching some of your podcast, yeah, because once you actually get to know me, you realize I don't private message. Once you get to know me, you realize I often, every episode, every week, talk about imposters. But you want to believe. Your parasocial relationship makes you want to believe that I have the time to talk to you one-on-one, that I don't have my own personal life, that I am so lonely as well that I would reach out to a stranger on an app that I've never even fucking heard of. Come on, people. Come on. Come on. Protect yourself. Protect yourself. Of course, now in hindsight, I can say after watching some of your podcasts, your interviews on Pillow Talk and other items, there were definitely disparages that it didn't gel with what you were telling those on air. I wanted to make sure you're aware of these people. Obviously, I'm aware of these people. This is why I do Takedown Tuesdays. But I don't know who this account is because I've never been on Signal. However, by the luck of a Powerball winning ticket, and it was you, I hope you're not upset. I simply had to ask to ease my own mind and to know there's no other way to confirm one way or the other. If it was you, Well, I hope you still find me as respectful and real as now as through those conversations. There were no conversations, bro. In closing, if this email should happen to read, it probably isn't one of those emails that has any merit on air. It was more for me to share with you behind the scenes. My simple question is, was it real or was I talking to scammers? Have a safe trip to Australia. Enjoy every minute. You deserve it. Thanks for listening. It was not real. You were talking to scammers. And the reason I commit my time is to try to prevent this. But I am one person working on the fact that when I landed, like I said, there were 200 new Facebook set up, which were leading to other platforms, WhatsApp, Telegraph, all of these different. Once I got in, this was my ride back from the airport. Once I got in, I land and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is popping up? Because I have Google alerts and I'm getting all these alerts and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so much work to do. This is so crazy. And meanwhile, I'm launching a new show tomorrow and I'm doing all these other things. And I've got a million things to do, but I do what I can. You all have to do it too. Frank, no, I don't private message anyone. That was not me. And you have to be very careful about somebody getting access to your phone, hacking into your things, trying to scam you for money. It is not me. I am not on Buy Me a Coffee. I don't know random people to buy me a coffee. Are y'all kidding me? Let's all be safe out there. And understand the reason why I am so tenacious is because I don't want people like Frank having their heart broken, getting scammed out of money, and being left having conversations with whoever knows you're talking to, probably a dude, because that dude is running a huge operation and they are planning on scamming you eventually. They are scamming you by playing with your heart. So be safe out there. Be realistic. When you had that mind, that moment where you said to yourself, why would Lisa Ann be talking to me? You probably could have gone to any one of my timelines, the real Lisa Ann on all social media, and you could have seen my schedule. You would have known that maybe while you were having one of those chats, I was streaming live on YouTube from 7 to 9 p.m. on Wednesday nights. And if you are in a conversation with a scammer, the best thing for you to do is look at my live appearances and watch one of those live appearances and start a dialogue with this person. You can see that I can't do two things at once, right? I can't be live on YouTube at Better Network and Fantasy Alarm, as well as be talking to you on some random ass app. So I don't private message. Please be careful out there for imposters. And for those of you who may want to add into this sex ed conversation that I got to have at Sexpo and ask me the unique questions that were asked, you can send your emails to asklisaann@gmail.com. Again, Wednesday nights, Better Sports Live. Lisa Ann Does Fantasy Better. Streaming live on YouTube at Better Network as well as at Fantasy Alarm. Every Thursday night, I'm at Sapphire 39 where you can just enjoy the game with me and enjoy my wine, Lisa by Lisa Ann. Every Friday, I do my Fantasy Football Fridays where I visit St. Louis, Houston, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Tampa. And I've got a lot of goodness coming out for you, which I will keep you in check with. Please only follow my accounts. I am the real Lisa Ann. Be mindful of spelling. So I'll tell you, when I saw a bunch of these Facebooks, I was like, where's the missing letter? Like I was counting the letter. I'm like, oh, it's the E. Okay. On this one, it's the A. It is tricky because they mimic my site. But know that I don't private message anyone and that will keep you safe out there. Thank you so much for listening to an all new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience. Thank you.